This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The 7th Malaysian Composer Concert Series 2016 is a collaboration between UiTM's Faculty of Music and the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre, aimed at promoting and encouraging the writing of new compositions by students and faculty members. I find out what's in store for this 7th installment from Aliyah Farahin, Kamrul Bahri Hussein, and Dr. Nathan Fisher, who are all accomplished musicians and part of the teaching faculty at UiTM's Faculty of Music. Welcome. How are you all today?
Very well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Maybe we can just start off with getting to know you guys a bit better. So was music always a part of your life, even from an early age? Maybe we can start with you, Nathan.
Yeah, absolutely. It started from the very beginning, actually, because my mother was a pianist. So I grew up in that environment and, you know, studied music in school and, you know, just it was always there. So, yes, very much.
What about you, Aliyah?
I started very early as well. I started when I was 4 years old.
Okay, wow.
And my mom had always loved music. I've been going to classes since then. Yeah.
What about you, Kamrul?
Okay. My life actually is about art. My father is also a musician, and he also still play music till now. He make the musical instruments as well. So I grew up with the family of music. That's how I've been taught, and by surrounding and also by community, and also a few his groups from the traditional authentic side of Wayang Kulit Mak Yong di Kerala Barat, and then with that I pursue my studies to learn not only traditional music but also other kind of music, and then now I'm glad that I love what I'm doing, so here I am now.
Were you all very willing participants in your music lessons? I mean, was it something that was forced upon you, or did you feel this was something that I always wanted to do?
Actually, at the beginning, I think it's accidentally. Accidentally, because of those days when I was a child, my mom told me that I never fighting in school. Uh-huh. So when I want to do some, when I met at some people, I just played gendang.
Okay.
To assume that that's a person, so I just bang a gendang.
So that was your outlet.
Yeah, and then after that, I realized that, hey, I'm good at that.
What about you, Aliyah?
For me, at the beginning, because I was four, you know, I was too young, but I love music, you know, I enjoyed banging on the piano back then. And then it started to get better as I was more matured. But I remember in the middle, you know, during the teenage years, when I was a bit more rebellious.
Yes, of course.
I refused to practice, and that was a little bit of a problem, especially for the teachers. And then I realized that in spite of not practicing, I was still able to do it better than the rest of my
natural
friends.
Talent. Yeah.
So I see that, okay, so this is what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life. And I really loved it after that.
And what about you, Nathan?
I allegedly, my parents put me in piano lessons when I was four, and I just wouldn't do anything. But I started playing the violin at a very early age, maybe like 7 or 8 also. And then I continued. I took on the guitar, and I always enjoyed playing the guitar, and even had the opportunity to study the oud, which you know here as the gamboos in Egypt.
Yes.
for 3.5 years. So yes, I've always been a willing participant, but just like any human being, you know, I have off weeks or off months.
And that's how it went.
Yeah.
What brought you to Malaysia?
I was offered the job at UiTM, and I had never been to Asia, and I thought that was a perfect opportunity.
And I suppose that's also kind of exposed you to a whole different range of musical instruments that, you know, otherwise you might not have been able to have access, maybe?
And styles, yes, absolutely. But there are some really amazing similarities between the traditional instruments here and the traditional instruments in the Middle East, actually. So it was interesting to see the similarities yet differences that they have.
And how would you describe your relationship now with the instruments that you are playing? You know, how has that relationship progressed from then to now, especially now that you are all lecturers?
For myself, because, you know, I started teaching, I started playing classical first, and then I ventured into modern and as well as jazz later. And now that I'm teaching, so I see that the students are actually, it's interesting, you know, when you see students, they actually have very different ideas from you, and you can actually learn from them. So so it's great, you know. I think it's fun to actually share things with them, because they might have new ideas and they listen to all sorts of music, say sometimes you're not even familiar with. So, and then they put it into their jazz music and improvisation. So that's really, it's really nice to hear.
So you were a professional musician yourself. Where did you sort of perform? Did you kind of...
Well, I don't really perform right now, okay, because for now I don't really perform.
Okay. But back in the day, did you sort of...
Yes,
have a,
I did. Yeah.
And where did you usually perform back then?
I used to follow my friends when they called me for recordings. So it's all over.
Okay, yeah. Nice. And Carmel, what about you? Because you are multi-instrumentalist, you play so many different instruments.
Yeah, in the genre of percussions in Malaysia, I have to know almost everything. Not only Malay percussions, but also Indians and also Chinese percussions. Mm-hmm. Which is, if I count the instruments, I think more than hundreds. Where the wayang kulit itself is actually have sevens, and then maayong have four, and then all of them have pair. So, but what I love is actually a drumming. Mm-hmm. Hand drumming,
right?
So where it's quite difficult for me to focus because there's too many instruments. But what I love more is actually a gendang ibu in maayong, mm-hmm, or wayang kulit. But now I venture into a other instrument, which is a melody instrument, mm-hmm, such as a rebab, serunai.
Yep.
In order for me to play a melody, and also I also try to sing now, become a singer, so that I can go with the rhythms and melody as well. So it's too much for me, but I love it, actually.
Who were some of your teachers, you know, some of the most inspiring teachers?
Okay, for the beginning, it's my father. And then I learned with the late Malaysian National Laureate, the late Pak Hamzah Awang Ahmad.
Yes.
And then I have Pak Nasir, where we, both of us, actually learned with Pak Hamzah. So I have to continue my study with Pak Nasir, and then a few other guru that I have in Malaysia, mm-hmm, for the Malay traditional music. And then I also learned with Steve Fontaine, and then Manej Yahuda from the Africans. And then there's many teachers that I've learned, where I try to blend, try to get the, what we call it, the beauty of percussion, hand percussion, where I can explore more, not only Malay, not only authentic, but also other things. That's why now with the traditional music, we can do a lot of things, not just to accompany a dance or theatre, but also to create a new music of what we have in terms of new sound, new compositions, and so many things that we have in 21st century.
Lovely, and which is something that I suppose we'll be discussing, which is part of the concert that's coming up.
Yes.
But before we get to that, Nathan, what about you? I mean, how have you sort of, who are some of your most influential teachers, or who kind of led you down the path that you are now?
I would say that I studied in Italy and in France with Oscar Giglia, who was teaching assistant to Andrew Segovia. That was very influential. And then I did my master's and doctorate with Nicholas Galousis, who you may or may not know. And then in Egypt, I studied with Hussein Saber, the oud. And that was very, very cool. It was like learning how to learn all over again.
It was completely different, disciplines and...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, learning Arab music in general and how that's taught. It was very eye-opening.
And it's wonderful that now all of you have taken all these different sort of musical influences in teaching to teach your own students, which we'll discuss after this break. I'm speaking today to Alia Farahin, Kamrul Bahri Hussein, and Dr. Nathan Fisher. They are all lecturers at the Faculty of Music at UITM, and we are discussing the 7th Malaysian Composer Concert Series 2016. Coming up after the break, we find out what's in store at the concert. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. In the studio with me today are Alia Farahin, Kamrul Bahri Hussein, and Dr. Nathan Fisher. They are all part of the music faculty at UITM, and we're discussing the 7th Malaysian Composer Concert Series 2016. What led you down to the teaching path? What made you become a teacher, music teacher?
All right. So I had always loved teaching, probably because my mom is a teacher herself. So, and I started teaching at a very early age as well. When I was a student, when I was 18 already, I was teaching. small kids, you know. And then I feel that the more you teach, the better you get as a musician, because mm-hmm. you will try to break it down and make everything easier. And along the years, I feel that if you teach music, you'll be able to understand a little bit more. And then from the students as well.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. And then I realized that, okay, so maybe this is what I really want, you know. I love music and I love teaching. So being a lecturer is the perfect combo.
And there you are. What about you, Kamrul?
Okay, basically, I also love to teach. But in my genre, we need to play, we have to play together. We have to play in ensemble. So in order to for us to get together, so we need to understand almost all. Mm-hmm. And then that's one of the reasons why I have to know how to teach as well. Okay. Because of I have to make it the ensemble is done in order for me to play an ensemble, traditional ensemble. Then after that, it make me more mobile, more free for me to go to perform as ensemble, not as a soloist mm-hmm, at the okay. beginning. And so I think that's how I get into a teaching, in order for me to understand more instruments, more technique, more method, with the different guru, and then from there I become more satisfied
about everything.
Yeah, and then make us more happier.
Nathan, what is your philosophy of a music education, and do you think that a formal education in music is important?
I think it's important only if it's important to the person who is trying to achieve a professional level. I think anybody can go buy a guitar and, like, you know, play along with their stereo and then they think they're a musician.
Yeah.
But just like anything, there's a grammar and there's a syntax and there's a way of doing things, articulation, dynamics. There's a way of going in depth into it in such a way that it sets professionals apart from, you know, the amateurs. And I think it's very easy for amateurs to feel that they're at that level. So anyways, I really like to teach students who are eager to learn and who are interested to going into that level of analysis and that level of, you know, intricate approach.
And I'm assuming, of course, that you have very talented kids in your class, because obviously they're all very interested in pursuing music. But this will naturally come at varying levels. So how do you handle the different, like, ability levels in your class among your students?
Yes, we do have students coming from different levels, and it's, of course, we need to approach them differently. So we give different types of difficulties in scores. So maybe students with a better background, we give slightly more difficult. But at the end of the semesters, though, when they reach semester 5, which they have to come up with a showcase, so at that point, they have to achieve certain levels already. Okay. They have to reach at least the diploma level.
Okay, all right. Kamrul, how about you? How do you sort of deal with students who are very talented and then those who are not so talented in a class setting?
Okay, for your information, the UITM Faculty of Music just started to introduce the Pergendangan Melayu or Malay Drumming as the principal studies. Mm-hmm. So I only have a few students, and then for the ensemble, yes, we have a few level of the student that came to the UITM. Some of them does not know about the traditional as well, because of quite new for them, because of traditional, of course, is not popular, where actually it's my challenge to introduce to them. But some of them already have talent, background through their parents, that might be they have grandfather who are playing traditional music before, play rabana, but because of quite hard for them to learn in the formal institutions, university, mm-hmm. we cannot offer them traditional music as a male focus for them to go in high level. So we have a few level of in order for them to learn. And then some of the classes I just take 3 classes in this semester, where a few of them are very good, but they don't know how to, what we call it, the They don't know how to develop themselves because they don't have instruments in order for them to practice or whatsoever. So we have specific classes for them to learn and then to know the instrument. It's not like before that the other instrument that they have on their own to practice, which is quite difficult for them to buy a good instrument for them to practice. So with that, I tried to give them substitute instruments. For example, if they learn kompang, for example, so quite easier for them to bring the instrument for them to practice anywhere. So and then so what I have done is actually to encourage them to know the kompang itself, the physical of the kompang, the tuning system of the kompang, the basic technique of the kompang, in order for them to know better other instruments. For example, in Mak Yong, which is difficult, Swayang Kulit, it's very, very difficult for them to get attuned and also to get the instruments out there. So in the music shop also, we don't have a better quality of musical instrument in order for them to buy.
That's tough, isn't it?
A bit tough.
So where do you get your instruments from? I mean, I guess it's a craft and possibly a dying one to make these instruments. So you know, where do you source your instruments from? And is it getting increasingly hard to get the instruments?
I'm having a lot of problem when I order from the university or for the dealer whatsoever, because they are contractors. They don't know about the locality needed for the classes. So it's very tough for me. That's why I also learned how to make the instrument by myself. Yeah, we have to. If not, we cannot get a good quality instrument. And then we don't have branded instrument for the traditional as well. So if you ask me where should I go and buy the gendang, it's high quality gendang, I cannot tell you where suppose you go to get a good quality one. So that's why in class also we need to teach students how to take care of the instruments. It's a very sensitive instrument. And then I have a few supplier, or my father also made the instrument. My uncle also made the instrument, man. And then my younger brother also learned how to make the instrument itself. So I think we need to get this one slowly in order for us to introduce the traditional instrument to make it more easier for students to go and buy, so that they can get a correct tones with a good instrument tuning system. For example, for classical guitar, we can get anywhere in the shop, so with the different level of the quality as well. So we just can buy anywhere, and then it's very cheap, and also we can get a level of maybe the range of my second instrument is also classical guitar, where I can buy about 200 ringgit, and then the classical guitar also have about 1,000 ringgit, more than that. So that's how we need to do about the traditional instrument, that we can get cheaper, and then we also can get quality high-level instrument, but not classic instruments. It's more, cost more than that. Because of a traditional instrument is carving. It's not only a sound, but also a craft where the maker is need to know how to play instruments, not just know how to make the instruments. That's why traditional is very complex.
This sounds like a whole separate topic that warrants a full discussion on its own. But just going back to you, Nathan, you play a very specific guitar, I believe.
Yeah, I have a guitar made by an Australian luthier named Greg Smallman, and then I have another guitar made by an American luthier named Robert Ruck. And both guys make about 20 to 30 guitars a year. That's their industry. That's all they do. They can get around the instrument pretty well, I suppose, you know, so they know how the playability is, but they also work with professional musicians, and they do this. Part of the reason the guitar, you know, the guitar is in every genre, and part of the reason that is because you can go to the store and buy a guitar for very cheap. You can buy a guitar for 200 ringgit, and then, you know, you can sort of pluck on it and make some music, and then it's accessible. It's easy to get one. The difficult thing here in Malaysia is to get a guitar that is professional. everybody sells guitars in guitar shops. They are very cheap, but they're just that. They're cheap. And there's a lot of guitars that are manufactured out of China, for example, and they make 150 a day, 200 a day, 30,000 a month, I don't know. And there's a level of quality control that sort of lacks in those types of instruments. And they bring them here, they put a sticker inside, and they sell them in a shop. And so if you're spending anywhere less than 3,000 actually to 10,000, you might be getting a guitar that was made in China that nobody has actually put any quality control into. Okay. So when you start getting into a guitar that's made by a luthier, made by somebody who specializes in that sits there with sanding paper and just kind of takes it down, you know, just fractions of a millimeter till it gets just the right sound, till everything fits together just right, you're dealing with a different level of instrument. And this is the difficulty I have with students here. Because the norm is to just go to a guitar store and you just buy the guitar. And it says concert Spanish guitar inside. That means it's good enough. And, you know, trying to explain to students that they need instruments that help them reach their full potential, that are professional in level, is just something that is not accepted. Not by everyone. I have some really amazing students that go and they research guitars and they get very excited about it and they buy professional level instruments. But I think that it's a misconception that if you own a guitar or you buy a guitar at a guitar shop that and you spend a lot of money or more money on it, you're going to get a quality instrument. Chances are you're not. You're getting a tree that was made into a guitar shaped.
Yeah.
Furniture.
Yes.
With strings. Yeah, and there's really only one guitar maker in Malaysia. When you go to Thailand, there's 25 and they have a network and they work together and they're cool. You know, that's one thing Malaysia needs is like a just, you know, they need to make, you know, guitars.
Yeah.
Trained guitar makers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've discussed a whole range of things, but let's get to the 7th UITM Malaysia Composers Concert Series 2016. Could somebody give me a quick brief on how this series came about?
So this is our 7th time doing, but this is the first time I'm entering actually.
Okay.
It started from our composer, Dr. Tazel. So he was the one who initiated the whole composer series. So what he did was he organized with KLPAC, okay, which where the composer series are always there, okay. They were working together to showcase the composers, the UITM composers' works. This is our 7th year doing it, so there'll be lots of composition from the lecturers as well as the students.
Interesting. And how do you involve your students in the decision making or planning of this concert? Like, how do you decide which compositions are selected? You know, that sort of thing.
That one is usually determined by the composition lecturers. Okay, so they are the one who is guiding the students. So they will tell them, okay, this is not right, or this is the correct thing to do. And so there's some clashes here, or, you know, there's some problems in your songs or in your composition or in your work. And then this instrument does not suit to be here. And yeah, they are the ones who will guide the students to do it. Yeah.
So it's a very democratic process then?
Yes, it is. But of course, the students got to agree with it as well.
Just the long time that actually...
No.
And so the performance itself, which involves both students and teachers, you know, like how much practice time do you expect from your students? I don't know if you guys have ever watched the movie Whiplash. Is it anything like that?
No.
There's days.
There's days.
Well, it depends, you know. It depends on which time of the semester.
It's mostly refrain, you know. But
not quite.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I don't think that is the best way to approach how to teach.
Yes.
And
yeah.
There's nothing
not music,
there's nothing
especially.
True about that movie in that sense, you know, but those feelings are there deep inside.
Yes.
But honestly, how much time do the students put in? I mean, is this part of their curriculum or is it a project outside of it and on top of their coursework?
I think that it's just about doing the job and doing it well and doing it right. So a lot of the music the students will play is very difficult. And, you know, they get that music well in advance and they rehearse it and they drill it and they bring it up into a performance standard that that is exciting. And then they bring it to the public in this form. And I guess that's the point, you know.
So there are four concerts scheduled in this series, each with its own theme, and it's going to be held over 4 days. So on the 22nd, we have something called Traditional Fusion, which features you, Kamro. What's the program for the day?
Okay, basically this on 22nd, that will be the Fusion's day that we are trying to do experimentation of the traditional instrument with the blend with the Western instruments. We also have the sape player played by Rosemary. And then I will be playing the rebabs, serunaing, and the Malay gendang, where we explore a new possibility of sounds and also a new composition that we try to highlight both traditional and Western instruments in order for us to get more satisfactions. And then explorations about the traditional range of the song. And then I also will be playing a solo rebab, which is the first time be composed by our students, our degree students, Delilah, where that's also a first time for me to play rebab in different way. Okay. And then that also first time for me to do a solo without a character of the rebab itself. Not the traditional, but something else that I don't know. Which is before that I've done that, but not in written. Okay. I've done for the sound effect, for the movie, Senjakala, whatsoever, other thing that Bunuhan. And then, but for the, I think, if not mistaken, on the Sunday. So that one will be a new sound, new style of rebab playing for a new composition. New compositions that feature rebab, the Mak Yong rebab. It's not in Mak Yong style ensemble, but in different that we call it a Mak Yong, the rebab something. I don't know. I also do not know what's the title of that piece yet. We don't know. So you have to come and see. Yes.
And on the 23rd, we have Malaysian Art Songs and Classical Guitar Concert. Nathan, I'm guessing that's yours?
Yes. We are going to have an exciting night, I guess, of new music. And we've been working really hard with composers to write art songs that are based on Malaysian folklore or based on, you know, Malaysian stylistic traditional practices that can be brought into, like in a contemporary way, brought into, you know, classical guitar and sort of develop a repertoire that's based on that. And so we have composers like Ainul Azizul, who's written a piece for guitar and electronics, you know, backing, which is very cool. Raja Alif has written a piece. These are faculty members at UITM. And then we have a couple of pieces written by a very famous British composer named Vincent Lindsay Clark. And his music is really fun and really light and very accessible. And he's written a couple of pieces for us. And then we actually have very much a rising star that recently graduated named Sharmeen Bakri. And she's written a guitar quartet and three or four pieces that are going to be played. And she really knows how to capture the essence of like the Karanchang and, you know, the Matnyang and put it in. So there's lots of banging on guitars and in a sophisticated and cool way. So I'm sure I'm leaving something out, or I forgot to say somebody's name, but it will be a good night and a full program.
Okay, and on the 25th, we have Choir Highlights 2016 by the UITM Chamber Choir. Aliyah, could you tell me more about that?
Yes, UCC just recently, they won in Prague. We are very proud of them. Yes, they won the choir competition, right? Yeah. So they'll be performing a composition by Adam. Okay, by our composition coordinator. So, and then the rest of it will be arrangements by him as well. So, do come and watch because they're really, really good. They're just beautiful in just singing, literally.
And finally, on the 26th, there's Snapshots of Musical Creativity. So, is this sort of like a blend of everything or...?
mixture.
Yes, there'll be a mixture of our composers, Raja Alif, Rainer Adam as well. Yes,
Rainer wrote a guitar
yes,
piece also.
And for myself, actually, I wrote as well. I wrote an art song. I'll be performing the same night with Nathan. So that's basically what I did was, what art song means basically is vocal music and piano. But the lyrics has to be written from a poem. So the from my song, it's written by my friend from a different faculty. So she's an artist. Okay, so she wrote this poem called Seindah Lautan. You have to come and watch. So yeah. Okay.
And there you have it. The 7th UITM KLPAC Malaysian Composers Concert Series 2016 will kick off from next Tuesday, the 22nd of November, until Saturday, the 26th of November, with a break on Thursday night. There is, as we just discussed, a different program for each day, and all concerts start at 8:30 p.m. The venue for all the concerts is Pentas 2 at KLPAC, and you can find out all the details by visiting klpac.org or visiting music.uitm.edu.my. Thank you all so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
I've been speaking to Alia Farahin. She's a lecturer in desk piano. Kamrul Bahri Hussein, he's a senior lecturer in Malay traditional music. And Dr. Nathan Fisher, he's a senior lecturer of classical guitar. They're all from the Faculty of Music at UITM. And we've been discussing the 7th Malaysian Composer Concert Series 2016. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.